from Luke chapter 7 was already read in your hearing, verses 36 through 50, but I want to read some of that again. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with them. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. He kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And he saith, and Jesus answered, saith unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast judged, rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, have not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman have anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Thy sins are forgiven. I want to talk to you around the subject this morning. My worship is for real. My worship is for real. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before your most holy presence, God. We're thankful for this time to preach your word, God. And we just pray that you will just move by your spirit and by your power. Have your way in this place, God. We pray that you will bless your people as they are readying themselves to receive your word, God. And as your word goes forth, allow it to fall on good soil. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. My worship is for real. My worship is for real. This woman came to Jesus with her worship. And you know, many times we will come to Jesus and people don't understand our worship. People don't understand where we've been or what we've been through in our lives. And they don't understand who we are. They don't even know. They think they know us, but they don't really know us. And we come to the house of the Lord, and folk try to judge you, try to, you know, make you think that something is wrong with the way that you worship. And so today we just want to talk about my worship is for real. Because sometimes we shout. Sometimes you can sit and cry. Sometimes you just, you know, you stare off and you know, but you're thinking. But, you know, when you come, I don't think anybody who came to the house of the Lord, you pressed your way to get here and you pressed your way to get to the house of the Lord. And I don't think anybody who came in this house has not come to worship the Lord. And see, sometimes people will come, though. Sometimes people will come to see what somebody else is wearing today.
Or they may come to talk about somebody else. Or may come because their friends are coming. And I don't know what your reason may be that you might come to the house of the Lord. But, you know, most people who come to the house of the Lord come to worship the Lord.
Amen.
They come to worship the Lord. And so the Bible talks about the Pharisee. And this, it says that he desired him that he would eat with him. He wanted Jesus to come and eat with him. He asked Jesus to come to his house. And, you know, when you ask somebody to come to your house, have you ever been invited to somebody's house? And then when you get there, they treat you like they didn't invite you to come there. And, you know, you trying to figure out, like, what, why am I even here? You invited me to your house, and now you're going to treat me like you don't even really want me there. And, I mean, we experienced that as a family one time. Somebody invited us to their house, and when we got there, it was like, okay, hello, we're here. And so we felt like, you know, I don't understand why you invited us to your house. And you didn't really want us to be there. You didn't want us, our kids, to eat ribs and chicken like the grown ups. They wanted our kids, because our kids are used to eating ribs and chicken. If they go to a cookout, they're used to eating ribs and chicken. Don't give my kids no hot dogs at no cookout. They're not used to it, so they're coming over all little, talking about, oh, that's all ribs. No, honey, you can't have no ribs. These for the adults. Now some people do that, but with us, we eat the same thing. All of us eat the same thing. So we felt unwelcome, and then we felt like our kids wasn't getting what they said. We would do. Okay, we thank you for the invitation, but treat us like you want us to be there. Don't treat us like you don't want to. And that's just like somebody who may come up in this house of worship. You know, I'm sure you got a warm welcome when you came through those doors. I'm sure somebody smiled at you, somebody told you where to sit, and the person that you sat next to you looked at you and smiled at you. I know that happened. I know that better had happened. And if it didn't happen, you better let me know that it didn't happen in this house. Amen. Amen. Because, you know, you've been invited in this house. And we want you to feel welcome in this house. We don't want you to feel like, you know, you're not welcome. Why would we have you here if we don't want you here with us? Amen. And so we want our guests to feel welcome. But we look at this Pharisee who invited Jesus to his house. And when he invited Jesus to his house, the Bible says that he didn't act like he really wanted Jesus there. The Pharisee, he had some, you know, he had some other things going on in his mind, because, you know, the Bible lets us know what a Pharisee is. A Pharisee is one who, you know, they're strict on laws. Everything has to be right. Everything has to be, and then they make their own laws on top of that, and they expect for everybody to go, you know, with the way that they want things to go. And if everything ain't going the way they want it to go, then you are a sinner. You're sinning, and you're wrong. And so the Pharisees, you know, they were always nitpicking and trying to find things wrong with people and trying to find things wrong with Jesus. And so when Jesus came to his house, the Bible says, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and wiped them with her hair, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, if this man was a prophet, oh, if he was a prophet, he would have known who and what man or woman this is that touches him. But this is a sinner. She's a sinner. He would know. He would know. And so now he's sitting there, he's talking about Jesus, and he's looking at Jesus in his mind, he's saying, because he don't realize who Jesus really is. And so in his mind, he's saying, if this man was really a prophet, if he was really, and how many of us say a lot of stuff in our minds? When we, you know, if the Lord would just take the cover off our minds, I don't know, you know, I don't Lord, don't take the cover. Somebody say that. Don't take the cover off my mind, because I don't know what you might find there, right? The Lord knows, but I don't know what you might find there, because, you know, we think all kinds of stuff in our minds. And this man was in his mind saying, if this man was a prophet, he would not. He walking around here prophesying to people. I remember that happened one time with Juanita Bynum, when she got married to this man, and then she had to get divorced. And I heard people saying stuff like that. Well, didn't she know that that marriage wasn't going to work? Ain't she a prophetess? She running around here prophesying to everybody. Well, all prophets, they ain't Jesus. Trust me, they don't know everything. They don't know everything. But this man was talking about Jesus, and he's looking at him, and he's saying, shouldn't he know? Shouldn't he know? But Jesus heard him in his heart and in his mind, and he heard this man speaking those things, and he addressed him. And he said to him, he said, listen, let me say something to you. I have something to say to you. And he said, the man said, go ahead, master. He said, now, told him about the creditors. He said there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And then Simon answered him and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And then Jesus let him see himself. He said, well, listen to this, Simon. He said, then he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? He said, I entered into your house.
Watch it.
He said, you didn't give me no water for my feet, because, you know, when the travelers would travel, the roads were dusty, and they would travel, and you would be friendly to your guests by bringing some water so that you can at least, you know, wash their feet, or have them wash their feet. Make sure that, you know, your guest was comfortable in your house. He said, you didn't give me no water for my feet. He said, but she have washed my feet with her tears. And she wiped them with the hairs of her head. She didn't even look around for a cloth or anything. She was just so into it and so ready to wash up my feet that she didn't even look around for a cloth. She just took her hair and she just began to dry my feet with her hair. He said, you didn't give me no kiss. You used it usually when a traveler will come to a person's house, you know, you give him a holy kiss to let him know, I want you here. This is, and he said, you didn't even give me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, have ceased not to kiss my feet. She was kissing Jesus' feet. And he said, she ceased not. She continued to kiss his feet. And then he said, she even anointed my head with oil. And you didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman did. She anointed my feet. And then he went on to let him know that. And so that I'm going to forgive this woman of her sin. So then I'm looking at the Pharisee, and I'm saying, you know, and that's the kind of person that, you know, Jesus will look at and say, you're not the kind of person who, you know, is one who will be a person that God will be pleased with. You know, God wants to be pleased with our service to him. And if we invite Jesus to our house and we don't try to please him, how many of us invite Jesus into our house? And I mean, into our spirits. We invite Jesus. We come and we get saved and we invite him. But then when we get saved, we say, you know, Jesus, but I don't have time for you. I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, and so then Jesus, he's living on the inside, and if he is living on the inside of us and feeling uncomfortable. And Jesus has to say to us, listen, you haven't even, you woke up this morning and you didn't even tell me thank you. You woke up this morning and you didn't even turn around to look around to see how blessed you are. You woke up this morning and you didn't even breathe, you know, breathe the air that I have allowed for you to breathe. You didn't even do that. And so his spirit is uncomfortable living. living in this body. Because now you're saved and you have your temple is the body of the Holy Ghost. And so God, I'm sure God, the Spirit of the Lord is living within us and feeling like he doesn't belong. And so when we look at this woman, she came to Jesus, and when she came to Jesus, the Bible says that she was a sinner. And when we think about, I don't know what, it doesn't really say what kind of sinner she was, but it suggested that she was a prostitute. And so, of course, she must have been involved in a whole lot of stuff in her life. And, you know, many people have seen her standing on the corners, prostituting her body. And some of these men who probably were right there in that house with them. They knew she was a sinner more than just because they saw her standing on the corner. Some of those men knew her, you know, a little more personal. And but isn't it funny how people, you know, they will turn on you and you know, just to make themselves look good. I mean, who knows? This Pharisee, he knew that she was a sinner. Who knows what he knew so much about, how close he was to this woman. Who knows? Nobody really knows. And so, you know, you must be careful how you judge people. Be careful how you judge people, because if you're doing the same thing. And so the Bible says that this woman came and she was a sinner. And the Pharisees, they all knew, and they got upset when Jesus allowed this woman to just, you know, be all over his feet.
Come on now.
You know, she's all over his feet and she's crying out to him. And you know, well, when you look at this, the scripture, you'll see how that the woman, you know, Jesus didn't go to the woman came to him.
Watch it.
She came to him. And this makes me think that, you know, the woman, when she heard that Jesus was in that house, and when she heard that he was in the house, she said to herself, you know what? I hear Jesus is in town.
Yes.
He's over at Simon's house. Let me get my alabaster box with, you know, this is expensive. This is very expensive stuff. I've been saving this for something special in my life. And
well,
let me get my alabaster box with my ointment in it. And I want to take this oil down there to Jesus, because you know what? I heard that he's in town. And I could see that this woman, that when she heard, she came to Jesus. See, it's a difference when Jesus comes to you and then when you are coming to Jesus. Because I believe that this suggests that this woman had been tired of her life and tired of where she was. How many of us today can be tired of where we are in our life? Tired of going through what we're going through and tired of our lives are tired. And this woman, people looking at her and judging her and making her feel, you know, less than. And they don't know what was in her mind. They don't know where she had been in her life. And don't know that she may have been standing on that corner. And she may have been standing on that corner and prostituting herself. But they don't know that she wanted to get out of that life. They don't understand that she was really calling out to Jesus. Somebody please help me. Somebody save me. And when she heard that Jesus was in that house, she went to him. And this woman was ready to confront her sin. She went to him. She got to a place in her life where she said, you know, I'm taking this to Jesus. And can you imagine, can you see her, you know, as she's walking towards that house? And, you know, have you ever been so excited about something that, you know, you just start shaking before you could get to it? Like, you're like, oh my God. Because you don't know what you want to receive. You don't know. But you know it's going to be something good. And you're like, oh my God. And she's walking with her oil in her hand. And she's ready, because she knows, she made up in her mind that she's going to take this and she's going to use it. And she's going to anoint him. And she's saying to herself, oh my God, you know, is my life going to change today? God, is my life going to change?
My God, my God.
what's going to happen today? Oh, my God, what's going to happen? And I can imagine that this woman, she's walking to Jesus, and she's saying in her mind, I'm a prostitute, but is he gonna reject me? Is he not gonna like me? What is he gonna do? And she's got this oil in her hand. And you remember when the other woman anointed Jesus' feet, she put the oil on his feet, and the whole house was filled with the aroma of the ointment. But this woman, I know she's thinking to herself, and she's saying, "This is good. This is good stuff. I paid a lot of money for it. And is he gonna reject me? I'm so nervous. And oh my God, he's at the Pharisee's house. And I know they don't like me. How many of us know when we come to the house of the Lord that somebody don't like you? Somebody don't like me. Somebody in the house of the Lord don't like me, but I got to press my way because I got to get my way to Jesus. And so when the lady went to Jesus, when she got to him, you know, she got to the house, she was so overwhelmed. The Bible says that tears were just rolling down her face. The woman was, she cried so hard that she could, and she laid on her head over Jesus, and she just cried so hard that when she cried, the tears were enough to actually wash his feet, her tears. She was so overwhelmed, she didn't know what to say, she didn't know what to do, but she had gotten to that place in her life where she was ready to let it go. She was ready to say, you know, I'm coming before you, Jesus. And you know, Jesus, you are holy, God. You are holy. And I don't deserve to stand before you. I don't deserve it. And you know, when we come before Jesus, you know, see, somebody got to understand, when you come before Jesus, you better know that he's holy. Don't you come before him like the Pharisees. Don't you come before him treating him like he ain't nobody. Like, who does he think he is? You don't understand who he is. He's a holy God. And many of us, we come before Jesus, and we don't know. We don't treat him like we should treat him. This woman came before him, and she knew that she was a sinner. She knew that she had done some things wrong. She knew that she had done some things that Jesus would not be pleasing of. And when she came before him, she says, you know, I came to the house, and when I got to the house, you know, let me tell you, the closer you get to Jesus in your relationship, the more things will begin to fall off of you. See, you can't do the things that you used to do. See, it's all right that you can come to church and, you know, we can do some things in front of people in church, and people think that, you know, you are a holy person. But then you go behind your closed doors, and nobody knows what you do behind those closed doors. Nobody knows how you act when you're at home, and you know, you're acting a fool, and you're cursing, and you're doing all kinds of stuff. Nobody knows that, but then you come back to church, and you're holy again. Let me tell you something. The closer that you get to Jesus, your relationship, the closer your relationship is to him. And that's how you know when you're really close to Jesus. When you're behind closed doors and you're saying, oh my God, I shouldn't have thought that.
Go ahead.
Or when you're behind closed doors and saying, no, I can't do that no more.
Go ahead.
When you're behind closed doors, somebody better hear me here.
Yeah.
When your relationship is that close to Jesus, that, you know, when people don't know what's going on in your life, they don't know, they don't understand, they don't see it. Nobody can see it. I can't see you. I can't see your sins. I don't know what's going on. But guess what? God sees it. And the closer your relationship is to him, and I can see this woman, the closer she got to Jesus. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The closer she got to Jesus, the more she felt like, oh my God. Because her relationship, she was drawing closer and closer to him. And your relationship, and so when your relationship is that close, you will know that when you're behind closed doors, guess what? You can't do the same things that you used to do. You just can't do the same things because you're face to face with Jesus. You're face to face with Jesus at all times. I don't care where it is or when it is. I don't care how you at?
This is over.
I had to tell it because, and it wasn't nothing going on, but it's called, the place was called In the Park, In the Dark. Okay. And guess what? In the park, in the dark, a lot of stuff could have gone on in the park in the dark. You know what I'm saying? A lot of stuff could have happened in the park in the dark. But let me tell you something. If you have a close relationship with Jesus, I don't care if you're in the park in the dark. I don't care where you are. That's what I'm telling you. I'm trying to tell you, I don't care if it's dark outside. I don't care if you're in the darkest, deepest mountains, wherever you are. If you're face to face with Jesus and you have a relationship with him. Somebody hearing me today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so this woman, she took that oil out.
Yeah.
Because she had prepared, she had it prepared. And she wanted to use that for a purpose, a special. It was so special in her life. And I'm here to let you know today that anytime you come to Jesus, it's special. It's special. And you don't come to him with no junk. Don't come to him half-baked. If you got oil and the oil cost you this amount and you got some tissues and you want to bring it to Jesus and you know that you paid $5 for this tissue, but you paid $500 for this oil. Well, Jesus, he's worth the
$500.
He's worth that and more. And but you know what we would do? Jesus, let me see. Because this is the way we feel about him. This is where our relationship is. Let's say that.
Wow.
This is where my relationship is to you, Jesus. So, you know, here you go. And because the Lord knows, he knows my heart. And he knows, you know, he knows where I am and my relationship. And everybody is in, you know, we all come to Jesus in our own way. Yes, we do. But guess what? He deserves more.
Amen.
He deserves more. I'm here to tell you. And I'm not coming here to make you feel bad about what you've been doing, you know, or what you've been given. But I want you to understand that when this woman came to Jesus, she came to him with her best. She brought her best to him. And she was ready. Let me tell you something. She got tired of the way that she was living. And Jesus is speaking to us today, and he's saying, listen, I need somebody to get tired. I need somebody to get sick and tired of the way you've been living. I need somebody to get sick and tired of living on the outskirts. I need somebody to get sick and tired because I want you to draw closer to me. Jesus, when that woman came to him and she started wiping his feet with her tears and she was just crying and crying and crying, she got to Jesus and oh my gosh, Jesus just sitting there and just letting her do that to him. And he's saying, okay, my child. But then Jesus turned around and he said, you know what? Your sins have been forgiven.
Come on.
He went right to her issue because she was all into it. My sins. Oh, my sins. Oh, I feel so bad. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, because, you know, we get there sometimes. We go there. Don't you know that he will forgive you? If you come to him just as he will forgive you, he won't turn you away. He won't treat you any kind of way. He will forgive you. And he told that lady. He said, listen, your sins have been forgiven. And then he turned around and he said, you know, he told that Pharisee, you know, see, this woman, you know, she came and she did all this for me, but look at you. He said, but I'm telling you, her sins are forgiven. And then he told the lady again, he said, listen, your faith has made you whole.
Well,
it was your faith that made you whole.
Yes.
And I'm here to let you know today that the Lord, when he comes back, he's looking for the faithful one. He's looking for, because, you know, the scripture says, he told someone in Luke chapter 18, he says, he told a widow woman, he said, you know what? Your faith, he said, your faith has made you whole. Because now this woman had been worried about her life and things that were going on in her life. And because she was worried about the things that were going on in her life, You know, Jesus was concerned about her. And he told her, he said, you know what, you don't have to worry about it, because she's going to the judge, back and forth to the judge. And Jesus was like, you know, you don't have to go back and forth to the judge. I got this. And I'm telling you, I want you to know today that he will take care of you. The widows weren't taking care of the widows like they should have, because this lady was going back and forth to the judge trying to get, and this judge, he didn't love the Lord. He didn't have anything to do. He wouldn't have nothing to do with God. And Jesus was like, well, just like this judge, because when she kept going, she was persistent. She just kept going back to the judge, kept going back to him. And when she kept going back to him, guess what the judge did? The judge who didn't love the Lord, didn't want nothing to do with the Lord, didn't like people. He said, let me bless this woman, because she's getting on my nerves. I'm going to just go ahead and bless this woman. And Jesus said, just like that, you know, if you're persistent with me, if you're persistent with God, if you continue to come to me, if you continue to love me and trust me and just keep coming to me, keep praying to me, don't you stop praying, just keep coming to me. And Jesus said, this lady was persistent. And since she was persistent, the man, he decided that he was going to bless her. How much more would your Father bless you? How much more will he shower love on you? And so I want you to understand today that, you know, she came to Jesus with her oil, and she was serious about changing her ways. And Jesus is speaking to us today. You know, he always went straight to the issue. When he got to the Pharisee, he told the Pharisee, he just went straight to his issue. You know, he didn't cower around it. He didn't do that. Jesus went straight to it, and then he went straight to hers. And he's saying today, I need to come straight to yours.
My God.
Let us all stand in the house
of God.
My worship is for real. Is your worship for real today? Is it for real? Like, does it come from somewhere deep down? I mean, deep down, because, you know, we can come with wave our hands and do what people tell us to do.
Here tonight, worshiping the Lord.
Is your worship for real today?
How many know if he never does anything else?